manager. Is anyone a little bit annoyed with me right now? Like, you're one of those that snuck into the North New South Wales big camp. And I came as a teenager and I went into the 18 plus tent. And what I saw was, I don't know why I'm getting emotional already. What I saw was just mind-blowing. It was the Kingscliff band that was playing at the time. Okay, I was hoping to get a bit of cheers, like a woo, or like a go Kingscliff, and they're the best, and they're awesome. And there was so many young people playing in a band, and there were so many people worshipping the Lord. And growing up in Sydney, we actually never, ever experienced something like that. And then people told me that you guys did this every year. And I was shocked by that. I couldn't believe that people like took time off work and came with their families and camped in tents for such a long time and had church every single night. And I walked into the 18 plus tent and I was just blown away to see worship that was powerful and it was relevant and it was beautiful. And that was my first experience at Big Camp. And so now to stand here before you many, many years later, it is an honor to be on this stage sharing with you just a little piece of what I see about Jesus Christ. I'm a little nervous. Can you tell? So I'm going to pray, and I don't want to make it about me. I don't want to make it about my nerves. I want to make it about the fact that God is in this place, and we as a team are praying every single night that he shows up in a beautiful and powerful way for you this evening, for us this evening. Does anyone believe that in the house? Is anyone expectant for God to show up? How he already has. He already has through our beautiful worship and the music and the testimony. But let's expect once again that he will. Is that okay, friends? Dear Jesus, Lord, we ask you to come into this space. We ask, Lord, that you will be in our hearts, God, yet again. And Father, I pray that you will speak through me and to me, Lord, that your words will become like sweet, sweet honey to our souls. We love you in this place and we say together, amen. Amen. All right. I'm turning with you to a passage of scripture. Out of all the scripture that we heard just before, there's one particular verse that stood out to me. So if you have your Bibles, whether electronically or physically, as I'm a little bit old school, so I love a good page and fill it in my fingers. But we are turning to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're only reading one verse tonight, and it is found in verse 19. And I think the team has it up on the screen in case you don't have it with you. But it says this, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Let me read that again. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Members of the household of God. The house. Does anyone like any reality shows about houses? Anyone like a good old Flip or Flop? Anyone remember that one? What about Fixer Upper? Does anyone like that one? Okay, my favorite one right now is The Home Edit, Get Organized. Does anyone watch that on Netflix? All right, guys, you've got something to watch when the Wi-Fi is working again, okay? You have something to stream on Netflix. And I just love it because these two girls, they go into these houses and they organize things. Anyone love organization? I'm feeling that, guys. That's awesome. I love organization. The other day, someone was talking about a label maker and I literally had one in my handbag that day. And I was like, yes, I love organization. I love labeling things. I love putting things in order. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about houses, okay? So these two women, they go into these houses and they organize something, okay? Whether it's a kitchen or a bathroom or a wardrobe, whatever. And they go into these houses and they create something really beautiful there. Now, I also love playing games. Does anyone like playing games? So we're going to... Okay, wow, there's a little bit of hesitation there. People were like, oh, she's going to make us play a game. Yes, I am, okay? So we're going to play a bit of Would You Rather House Edition, okay? So if you would rather the first option, you just got to put your hand up in the air, okay? I'm not going to get you to stand. I'm not going to make it awkward in the house. I already did that before when I said I was nervous, okay? So I'm going to get you to put your hand up in the air. And if you prefer the second option, you can just like kind of like... rest your head, okay? So can we give it a bit of a try? First option. Okay, awesome. Second option. Aww, what we all want to do very soon, right? Go to sleep, okay? Okay, so here's a bit of a warm-up. Would you rather a bright, beachy house right on the water, or would you rather a cozy mountain retreat? Oh, okay. Cozing up to the fire. All right. Would you rather allow a random person to come and decorate your home, or would you rather your great-grandmother decorate your home? All right. Okay, this one's an interesting one. I'm keen as to hear what you guys have to say about this. Would you rather never have to shower or never do laundry? We have a lot of very dirty people in the house today. This is bouncing. Can I just move this? Is that all right? Sorry, stage people. All right. Would you rather fix something yourself or hire someone else to come in and fix it? Fix it yourself, hire someone else. Does it depend on how fast it's going to get fixed? We need things done, right? Okay, finally, last one, and then we're done with this game. Would you rather invite people over to your house, or would you rather be invited to someone's house? Invite people over. Lexi and Carl, yes, you're so amazing at that. Be invited. Okay, interesting. A lot of people want to come to other people's homes. There is something special about being in someone else's house. There is something really beautiful when we are invited into someone else's house. And this passage of scripture is talking about two particular things. One, when we were a stranger, and then one, when we were a saint. So I've titled this message, Stranger or Saint, all right? Do we have it up there? Okay. I was hoping for a bigger font, like a little something a little bit more like bam, okay? So let's try it again. Stranger or saint? Everyone just pretend it's a bigger font, okay? There you go. Now, a stranger was someone who was an alien, a foreigner. This was someone that they might have been able to live in the place. They might have been able to reside there, but they had no rights. Okay? They didn't have any of rights of a citizen. Now, a saint, as we already talked about on Friday a little bit, a saint is someone who was set apart, sacred, part of the consecrated family. And Paul is saying that the saints now included both Jewish and Gentile together. There was no longer strangers. Everyone together was now going to be a saint. And Paul wrote this to them because he was watching them and he observed the fact that even though they were both supposed to be under the same banner, there was actually still some division happening. There was still some separation. There were still some people treated as strangers and there were still some people that were saints. And so Paul's writing this to them and saying, hey, under the household of God, everyone is a member. And can anyone say amen to that? That the qualifications and the divisions, they have been done away with and everyone is a member under the house of God. Because guess what? When you're under the house of God, there were privileges to that. There were rights to that. And the first one was protection. When you were a saint, part of the house of God, there was protection there. Protection from what was going on around, there was security. And then the second privilege, there was sustenance. Hey, round of applause for the team, guys. Lucas, that fist in the air is everything for me right now. That was awesome. So there was protection from what was happening around. There was sustenance. They were sustained. They were encouraged. They were told to persevere. And finally, another privilege was that of fellowship. Fellowship was friendly connections. There was companionship. And that was the privilege of being a saint, being part of the house of God. I read an article last week that my friend Jodine posted on Facebook. I don't know if anyone else saw that. But it is called The Lonely Crowd, churches dying due to friendlessness. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Do we have that up? Let's put a quote up on there. Don't smoke, guys. That is not the message of tonight, all right? This has taken a turn, all right? Let's bring it back. All right. This is just a snippet of the article, so can we have it up there, team? Before hosting any more conferences or seminars on vision casting, living your best life, or finding your spiritual gift, how about we start equipping people in friendship making? Yes, love it. Becoming and being a friend isn't easy. Yes, we can all relate, okay? It's not easy. It takes intentionality and training, and it might be your church's next major challenge. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and members of the house of God. What does it look like when a stranger walks into your house? And by stranger, I don't mean like a complete person off the street. I mean someone that we're not very familiar with. Do we welcome them in? Do we give them some food? Do we let them serve themselves first when we're serving haystacks? Yes? Of course we do. Do we make them wash the dishes? All right. Well, we need to have some conversations later. We make them feel like a guest, like we're excited for them to be there. We even go to the door to open up the front door and allow them to come in. What do we do when people come in and they're friends? They knock on the door and what do we say? Come on in. I don't have time. I'm quickly finishing the last thing. Just let yourself in. Leave your shoes at the door. Or not. Who's particular about that, by the way? Okay, we don't want to admit that. That's okay. No worries. Some people are very particular about that. But we want them to feel welcome. A few years ago, Zane and I were traveling throughout New York City and we were staying with a family. And the son, he was about 19 years of age, and he was telling us about this church on the Upper East Side in Manhattan. And he was like, you got to go check it out. It's really awesome. It's really contemporary. And we were like, yeah, sure. So we jumped on a subway. We traveled about an hour from Queens to Manhattan, and then we walked, I think about a kilometer, I can't remember, and it was -7 or 8 degrees. So it's freezing. We are walking with big jackets and there's snow on the road, and we finally arrive at this church on a Sabbath morning. And we walk in, and I didn't plan to go to church. So I was wearing pants and a beanie and a big jacket because I was cold. And there were two women when we arrived, and they looked over at me, looked me up and down, and kept talking. I was like, cool, I'm so excited to be here. So I walked in and we kind of found our way towards the Sabbath school rooms, and we sat there, and the Sabbath school teacher, she said hello. She was fairly friendly and told us that there was a potluck lunch after church. And then after Sabbath school, we made our way back up to church, and they even did the thing in the program, you know, when you have to turn around and say hi to someone? All the introverts, how do we feel about that? Exactly. All the leaders, listen to that. Because it can be so awkward sometimes. And so we're sitting there and no one turns around and says hello to us. The whole program finishes. We head down to the potluck lunch. There's no one there. There's no food. We're not really sure what's going on. We waited a bit and we're like, let's just go. No one talked to us. The whole time we were there, we traveled a long way to be there. We were definitely strangers and we felt like a stranger. So I don't know if it's the Chilean in me or the Serbian or the Croatian. Yeah, I'm all that. Welcome to my fruit salad. But there was something inside of me that was like, I need to say something about this. So, okay, come on. Would anyone else say something about that? Is it just me? Okay. So I found the website of the church and I sent an email. Guys, I reread the email when I was preparing for this. I was pretty nice, okay? Like, I was really loving and a real Christian. And I just said, hey, just letting you know, this was our experience. I'm a pastor from Australia and I would like to know this feedback. My friend was super keen to take us there, and this is how it went down. a little while later, the secretary emailed me back and she was like, I'm so sorry, we don't want anyone to have that experience. And then about a week or two after that, the pastor wrote back to me and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, please encourage your friend to come back. And then can you just let us know when he does so we can be prepared? All right, thank you. I feel validated with my reaction to this. Stranger. 100% felt like a stranger. And I'm sure when I'm telling this story, we all may have experienced something like that. A few years before that, quite a few years, my husband and I were a part of a group called Endless Praise, and we were traveling throughout, it was actually the Easter weekend, many, many years ago, and we were heading up to Toowoomba to go to Easter Fest. Has anyone ever been there before? Woo woo, yeah, love Easter Fest. And it was a Thursday afternoon and we were leaving from Sydney and our first show in was a Good Friday on Friday. So we had to make tracks. At the time, myself and another guy were the drivers and we were driving a Tarago and a trailer. And so my dad said to me, whatever you do, stay on the Pacific Highway and when you hit Brizzy, then turn in. So I'm driving on the Pacific Highway and the GPS keeps telling me to get on the New England. Get on the New England, get on the New England. And right at the time, my mum called and she didn't know that my dad had said that. And she just said, well, you know, if the GPS is saying that that's quicker, you know, follow it. So as I turned in, there was a petrol station there and I looked at my fuel and we're on halfway. And I thought, I'll be right. There'll be another station coming up. We're on halfway. Such an optimist sometimes. Bites me in the butt sometimes. And so we go. And we are driving through this very mountainous range. And my fuel just goes. All of a sudden, the light turns on. It's the middle of the night. We've got six of us in the van, a trailer that we're carrying full of sound equipment because we were heading up north for a two-month tour of Queensland. And the light turns on. And I just said to Bex next to me, I was like, we got to get through this because it's the middle of the night. And so we prayed and we actually drove for another 110 Ks with that light on. Grace of God. We get out of the mountainous range and I see a big sign that says Armadale, 11 Ks. And I'm like, yes, we've made it, 11 Ks. And then we broke down. I was like, so close. And so we get off, but we're all like, it's okay, it's 11 Ks. And we hitch a ride into town. We fill up our jerry can, come back, and we're on our way. And I kind of felt like a little bit energized from all of that adrenaline. So I thought, I can keep going. And the other driver, he didn't sleep either because he was also worrying about the fuel and all that. So I said, it's okay, I can keep going for another little while. And then the sun rose. Isn't that the worst time to be driving, right? Your eyes are like, oh, Jesus, help me. And like, I'm driving thinking, we got to get to Toowoomba. We just got to get there. And I was like, I can't do it anymore. And the other driver was like, I've barely slept. So we let a third driver take the spot. I jumped in the back of the van and I didn't put my seatbelt on because I wanted to sleep. And we had a huge accident. The trailer jackknifed, came up and hit the back of the van. We were just going everywhere and without a seatbelt, my head was just hitting the roof. And you know when you're rolling, you feel like you're rolling forever. It may not have been that long, but it was the worst. And we're riding through this and all of a sudden we land and we all start, I could just hear screaming happening the whole time. And we all start saying like, are you okay? Are you okay? We like called everyone by name. I'm okay. I'm okay. Someone in the back did not respond and we just screamed her name. Are you okay? Finally. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. All right. We're okay. We're okay. Okay. Now we got to get out of this van, which had landed on the side. By the way, Endless Praise has never had an accident before or after. This was just an anomaly. So we get out of the van and I'm sitting on the side of the road and immediately people start coming over everywhere. It's one of those, like, it was just a long country road with nothing around us and instantly we had help. When I called my mum and my parents, they're the directors of Endless Praise, and so I told them, I'm like, this is what's going on. One of her first calls was to Pastor Keith Jackson, who was the pastor of Inverell Church at the time. The rest of the details of that day are really blurry. But I remember he came and he gathered us. And I said, it's okay, we're here, we're going to help you. And we're going to do whatever we can to get you through. And he took us into a home, one of the members' homes, and we showered and we cried. And we were just kind of reeling from this really crazy accident. And we felt like we were a saint and we were part of something. And he just came around with all of his love and he took us to Macca's. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because we need to eat, guys. All right. After everything was fine, we were like, we need to eat and we need to rest because we're so tired. And then that Friday night, there was actually a Stormco group that arrived into Inverell Church. They were doing a week trip and they came and they were like, can you guys sing a song? And I was like, do you know what just happened to us? Like, people think that because you can sing, you always can sing. And I'm just like, and then something inside of me was like, yeah, no, we can. So we got up and we had some cuts and bruises, nothing major, praise the Lord in heaven. And we sung, I surrender all. I surrender all. I'm hoping you'll join me. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And it was beautiful. And in that moment, we were surrounded by these people that we had never met before, but we felt like saints. And we felt like we were part of the family. Two very, very different experiences. And yet, we were all fellow citizens. We were all part of the house of God. And I don't know about you, but there are times in our lives when we are treated as strangers, or we could be treating other people as strangers. And God is saying, hey, guess what? Everyone is a saint. Everyone is a member of the house of God. And everyone, doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter where we've been, doesn't matter what has happened to us or what we've done to other people, everyone is a member of the house of God. And so guess what? We as citizens, we need to be treating other people as saints. Amen? Sometimes we can walk into church and be like, no one said hello to me. Did we say hello to someone? Sometimes we can walk into a place and say, no one invited me. Did we invite someone over for lunch? And we sit back and we think that everything has to be for us. I didn't like the music. I didn't connect with the speaker. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. And God is saying, hey, you're a fellow citizen. So what are you doing about being a fellow saint in the house of God? Thank you for cheering and give me a chance to cough. You know, we as saints, there are a few things that I want to share. I love to get a little bit practical. There are a few things that we can do that as saints together, we're doing together. And the first one is to set the table. And I mean literally set the table. My friend posted this, if you can go to the photo, and it said this, never underestimate the power. By the way, my friend is not David Brooks. My friend is a very awesome guy that posted this. Never underestimate the power of a dinner table. It's the stage on which we turn toward one another for love, like flowers seeking the sun. There are no more restrictions, friends. So we should be inviting people to come to our table. Amen. The last few weeks, we were invited to the Pasco's house. I can't see you right now. Yes. And it was awesome. We had a beautiful time. And then the week before that, we got invited to the Rosendahl's house. And it was beautiful. And it was such a blessing. Thank you. And I share that because, and I wanted to name them because I think sometimes we just can take that a little bit for granted. But the thing is that there was a man many years ago who he didn't have a home to invite people to, so he was in everyone's home making them feel at home. And when Jesus walked this earth, he made a home and he set a table, whether it was metaphorically, however way you want to take it, but he constantly made people feel at home. He constantly made people feel like you are loved and you are welcomed in this place. So as saints, we need to set a table. The second thing we need to do, I love this one so much, and it is to cease. As Seventh Adventists, we're not that good at ceasing. Would anyone agree with me? For those of us who are in ministry and we are pastors and leaders, and for those of us who are leading in different ministries within church, Sabbath can be one of our busiest days of the week. Would anyone agree with that? And you know what? We are not very good at ceasing. But as saints, when we cease, we are actually refreshed and empowered. We're actually sustained, and we're given this opportunity to just rest and recharge because there's still a work to do. But if we don't cease, we're not going to have enough energy to continue to invite people as saints into the house of God. So we actually need to cease. There's a book that I read last year that changed my life, and it is by John Mark Comer, and it's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. If you haven't read it, please go out and read it. It is brilliant. I'm going to invite Zane to come up. We need to cease. We need to get better at that. Thirdly, as a saint, we need to celebrate. Does anyone agree with that? There's lots of prayer requests. There's lots of things to share, and I get it totally, absolutely. But we also need to remember that as saints, we can celebrate. Amen? So we're going to do a quick 60-second celebration time, okay? Is there something that we can celebrate? And I've asked Late over here, my friend, to share something that he can celebrate.
I'll try. It's pretty cool. I'm going to blub. Because mum's free of cancer. It's been 5 years and it's really good.
Okay, cancer free. Can we celebrate that? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a hard one to top, I'm not going to lie. But can anyone else, does anyone have anything that they want to celebrate? We can't have a big long story, but just like a highlight reel. Is there a sentence? Yes. Mahalia's baptism. Is she here? She's not here, so we're going to cheer even louder. Mahalia's baptism. That is definitely cause for celebration. Okay, over here, does anyone have something worth celebrating? Come on, we are saints in the kingdom. We are so excited, we are redeemed. Do we have something to celebrate?
My brother's starting to quit smoking.
Yes! That is so good. Worth celebrating. And I think that sometimes we need to allow more times for celebration, whether it's in our church programs, whether it's on text, whether it's on Facebook. Let's celebrate as saints what other people are achieving. Amen? Final one. Final one. I had to put this one in, guys. Do you know that there are more commandments in the Bible to sing than any other command? Do you know that there is power when we lift our voice? Do you know that it actually changes our mood? It starts to change things in our brain and in our heart and in our soul when we sing. And do we have something to sing about? Whether we are lamenting or whether we are praising in the highest victories and celebrating, we always have something to sing about. Amen? We always have something to praise God about. And I mean, I'd love music. Of course, I'm going to say this. But what is even more powerful is when the house of God comes together to sing to their creator. Late Darby, I don't know where he is at the moment. He said to me the other day, you know, I can't sing, but I'm still going to sing as loud as I can. So we're actually not looking for a quality of sound. We're looking for sometimes for us to make an intentional decision and say, I'm part of the house of God, so I'm going to sing and I'm going to declare, whether it's Psalms or Proverbs or praises or whatever it is, I'm going to sing because I have something to sing about, and that is none other than Jesus Christ. None other than Jesus Christ. We are citizens. We are protected. We are sustained. We are invited into fellowship. That gives us something to sing about. And in Acts chapter 7, God actually prophesied that he would say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the people of Israel after 400 years, I'm going to take them out and they will come out and they will worship me in this place. God actually says, I'm going to take you out of slavery so that you can worship. We definitely have a reason to sing. Strangers, they don't commit. Strangers don't plant roots. Strangers sit on the fringes. Strangers want to come in and just and suss it out. Strangers want to hang back. But saints, they're there for the long and hard road. They're there for the ups and they're there for the downs. Saints are there to build the house of God. Saints are there to continue to put back in because we have received so much. And you know who that was the biggest saint? Was Jesus Christ. He gave everything he could. He's literally stood in the gap and died for us. And his own people made him feel like a stranger. His own people crucified him. And yet Jesus said, doesn't matter, as long as everyone else gets a chance to be a saint in the house of my Father. Stranger or saint? Which one are we going to be? We can make a decision tonight, but it matters tomorrow morning. It matters on Thursday. It matters in May. It matters in December that we're going to intentionally be a saint, or are we going to hang back and continue to be a stranger? Stranger or saint? And you know what I love about Jesus? He's such a beautiful gentleman that he leaves the decision completely up to us. There's no pressure. There's no manipulation. There's no pushing along. Come on, do you know what I did for you? No. He says, look, I've done all of this for you, but it is completely up to you what you decide to do. Stranger or saint? So you decide. Because this message challenged me so much. Because I thought, how many times have I made myself feel like a stranger because I didn't want to get involved? How many times did I step back because it was too messy or it was too complicated? Our whole message as a big camp is about renewing. So maybe it's about time that we get renewed and we make a decision that in our renewal, we're going to be a saint and we're going to build the house of God. Amen? Stranger or saint? Which one will you choose? I'm hearing a few little words and my heart is like, did they get it? Do I need to preach for another hour? Do I need to keep going? Stranger or saint? You choose. You shout it, Lucas. Stranger or saint? Out of the mouth of babes. So we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray a blessing over every single one of us. Every single one of us that we will choose tonight, tomorrow, again and again, intentionally, on purpose, without a shadow of a doubt, that we will continue to be a saint building the house of God. And if you want to be part of this, if you are saying, I'm ready, I've been a saint for years, but I'm ready to keep on going, then I'm going to do a little bit of an altar call right here, right now. Actually, not an altar call, because you won't come to the front, but you can if you want, but I want you to stand. If you are like, I am ready to be a saint, Norman, just lead the charge. Don't wait for anything else. If you are ready to be a saint, publicly stand up. Don't want to make it awkward, and I'm not going to draw it out for 20 minutes, okay? We are just making a decision that hopefully we already made in our minds a long time ago. And we're going to pray a blessing over every single one of us. We're going to pray a blessing over this campground, over our conference, that we will continue to build the house of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. We're going to sing that again. The Lord bless. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you.
get you to close your eyes. If you want to lift your hands, you can. If you want to just be in the moment, whatever you want to do, take this moment now to commit yourself to the Lord. And I'm going to invite some friends to come up and sing with me. But take this moment now with every head bowed and every eye closed. As a saint, are we going to sit at the set a table? As a saint, are we going to commit to ceasing? As a saint, are we going to celebrate? But right now, we are going to sing.
Upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children. And their children, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you.
This is our prayer. Jesus, we say together, amen. Come on, saints. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.